Golf Today.
Welcome into Golf Today. Eamonn Lynch sitting alongside Jordan Cornett. And Jordan, we've seen the stars get well fed over the last few weeks on the PGA Tour, but now we're getting into the Hunger Games portion of the season, which to me is actually the most compelling part, where the rank and file are in an absolute dash to get to that top 70 who are going to make the playoffs in about 6 weeks.
Well, Eamonn, I think about those infamous words from Rory where he said, just play better. And like, this is the opportunity right now. You got six opportunities in 7 weeks. It's going to be a sprint. But if I think back to last year, a guy like Lucas Glover and what he did in the Wyndham and what he did in St. Jude played his way into the signatures for this year. Who's going to be that person in the stretch here? It's going to be fun to watch.
It really is going to be fun to watch. A lot of pressure on these guys as well. Well, one guy who isn't actually worried about having to make his playoffs is Scottie Scheffler. Last week, he won his sixth event of the season at the Travelers Championship, and it was a pretty dramatic finish. A few protesters, a playoff against Tom Kim. It's his fourth win at a signature event in 2024. Now, we're not going to see another signature event until 2025, which means it's crunch time for a majority of the players on tour. The push to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoff, and it begins this week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, Michigan, which is where we say hello to Todd Lewis. Todd, you spoke to several players out there already today about this final stretch in the schedule before the playoffs. How are some of those guys getting geared up for this high-pressure stretch that's coming?
Well, they're trying to stay focused, Eamonn. By the way, we are inside the prestigious, historic Detroit Golf Club clubhouse. This club established back in 1899. Why? Because there was a significant weather system that mowed through the Detroit area this morning, but it has stopped now, and seems like players soon are going to be able to go out and tackle this golf course. And for those players that are right now outside the FedEx Cup playoff bubble, well, they have had a few more moments to think about what's ahead of them. You see, the signature events are now over for 2024. So the Rocket Mortgage Classic will kick off what will be a 7-week run, and players will have six opportunities to play their way into the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, take a look at the schedule. It starts here in Detroit, ending with the Wyndham Championship. The top 70 in the FedEx Cup standings after the Wyndham will make it to the FedEx Cup playoffs, secure the card for next season, and have a chance to advance to East Lake and be a part of signature events in 2025. The biggest point event in this stretch is the Open at Royal Troon. And for those currently on that bubble or outside the top 70 of the FedEx Cup standings, this next month and a half will be significant.
It's kind of, these last six events are kind of like a sprint, you know. We had the last 3 weeks off, or I was home for a few weeks and got a lot of good practice in. And, you know, you're looking to move inside that top 70, top 50, top 30, you know. So one or two good weeks can really kind of change the course of your season, not just for this year, but going into the next year. You know, you sneak in the top 50 and get into those elevated events and stuff, that would be awesome. So got some good practice in at home and looking forward to the next 6 weeks.
Golf is obviously a mechanical game, but it's a mental game as well. How do you handle the pressure of these next six events and trying to secure your position for next year?
I think just trying to be normal. You know, it's just another, every week is just a new start, new tournament. So you really just, you know, trying to be as normal as possible. You know, not trying to think about the future that much. Really focus on the moment. So that's my mindset for this year and maybe for my future too. So yeah, it's special time, but at the same time, just trying to be normal. Yeah.
The points this year are getting to a point, especially this time of year, where they're so. There's big gaps in between there just because of all the designated events and the point structure from those events and whatnot, that it's really hard to move up unless you top two, top three every week. And obviously you need some help as well. But yeah, so like I said earlier, you just have to go out and play well. So.
Do you feel like you're in a tough position if you're not in the signature events? And it's how would you describe that challenge?
Yeah, I think it definitely makes it tougher. Like some guys had 3 weeks off this past stretch. Some guys had even more than that, which was pretty unfortunate. Like especially kind of during crunch time, with the tour and the end of the regular season coming up and whatnot. And I was fortunate enough to play one designated event this year, but it would have been nice to get more. I think the fields should have maybe been a little bigger, but I don't make the rules, so here I am.
Now, like I mentioned, there are 7 weeks coming up with only 6 weeks of PGA Tour competition. 1 week will be off. That'll be for the Olympics. That is not obviously a PGA Tour sanctioned event. There are many players who are in this field who haven't played in close to a month. Why? Because over the last 3 weeks, we've had two signature events surrounding the U.S. Open. As a matter of fact, Sam Stevens, who you heard from there, played a Korn Ferry Tour event a few weeks ago just to keep his game sharp for the stretch run. Now, the PGA Tour feels that there will be a turnover, talking about the players that will move into the top 70 and players that will move out of the top 70 after the regular season, to be about 20%. So we're looking at roughly 14 guys going into the playoffs, 14 guys popping out. Now, will the signature event series change for 2025, meaning will the field sizes stay at about 70? Well, according to the tour, right now, yes. And the players are getting no evidence that that is going to change, which makes this stretch run very, very critical. Guys?
A lot of weather pressure outside the clubhouse and a lot of professional pressure inside the clubhouse. What do you think of these signature events, Jordan? Are they working, or are they, for you, still kind of a work in progress?
They're obviously a work in progress, Eamon. And if you look at it, I mean, it's separating a greater distance between the haves and the have-nots. That is very evident. But the complaints are coming from both the haves and the have-nots. I mean, you heard Scottie Scheffler talk about, hey, Pinehurst.
Just professional golfers. They'll complain about anything.
And that's just life, too. You're not going to please everybody. But in this case, I don't know who quite you're pleasing. To me, you look at a guy like Scottie, you know, he goes and wins Memorial. And because of the scheduling of these signature events, he steps into Pinehurst and just never got his game. Was it because of the rigors of Memorial to Pinehurst, mm-hmm. the scheduling portion of it? Then you look at the have-nots, the guys who aren't able to get in the field for these signature events. Well, they're losing out on the purse opportunity. Greater than that, the points opportunity. So the discrepancy is bigger. From a viewer and a fan of the sport, I understand how the unfair side of it for those who are being left out. But then again, what are you also generating? You're getting the best of the best in these events, and you're setting up the FedEx playoff to watch the best in the sport. Golf is starting to feel unique in this side of, yeah, you want everybody to have an opportunity, but you also got to go earn it, Eamon. And so I get that it makes it more difficult when you don't have the opportunity to go garner those points. But at the end of the day, it can feel as simple as you got to play better to have the opportunity. There has to be a portion of that in the conversation here, despite all the discrepancies elsewhere.
There is, but I suppose there's also the question of the opportunity to play as well as the opportunity to play better. And we've had this forced three-week layoff for a lot of these guys. So I think there is an issue with the cadence of the schedule. And having, say, the Memorial, the US Open, the Travelers back-to-back, it's not just that guys are left who are actually have earned their card on their tour. It's not just that they're left out for those 3 weeks. To me, it's also the issue, to your point, of Scottie Scheffler. You get beaten up at the Memorial. You're committed to the Travelers after. So suddenly you have one of the career-defining events right in the middle there, where the schedule isn't doing you any favors. I still think the field size is an issue here.
That's your biggest issue of all.
It really is, because at the Memorial, you didn't even have 70 guys in the field. And it doesn't look as impressive to gather all the Goliaths if you don't have any Davids beside them. And I think you lose an essential nature of sport here, the idea of the upset player, somebody making a statement against the big guys in a big moment. And maybe the qualification process for it needs to be looked at, but I still think the field size could be 100, have a meaningful cut, because losing 15 or 20 guys out of a field of 70 isn't really that impactful. Yes. I think if you have 100 guys there and lose 50 of them, it still doesn't distinguish or demoralize anybody in terms of the paycheck they're going to get at the end of it. There's still a big pot of money being distributed to these guys.
And I guess I do get the point of saying you want everybody to have the opportunity. That's the beauty of a sport that I know you love dearly, college basketball, that I played in, and having that tournament.
You were a pitcher, right?
Yes, a pitcher. That's right. That tournament in March is a big deal because you have the opportunity for the upset. You have the Davids mixed in with the Goliaths. But at the end of the day, what does everybody want to see when it gets towards the end? Goliath.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see. So is a deck being stacked towards a FedEx playoff that is going to be chock full of Goliaths? Well, that's what everybody at the end of the day kind of wants to see. So you want them to have more of an opportunity to get there. I get that part. But at the end of the day, can we be really that upset we're going to watch the best of the best?
You can't. But I guess this is a problem the tour has had over the years as well. In all of its sort of finagling with the FedEx Cup over the years, it gives you the impression of trying to engineer an outcome.
Yeah.
And you're trying, for the benefit of fans, for the benefit of sponsors, for the benefit of broadcasters, everyone does want to see the best go toe-to-toe at the end, but it's sport. The best have to earn their way to that period at the end of it. And there are other aspects of this that I do think needs addressing as well. And one of them we're going to see over the course of the next few weeks, just in terms of the turnover rate. Todd mentioned about the number of guys you might expect to see move into the top 70 between now and the playoffs. But the tour has projected somewhere between 34 and 38% of the top 50 would be gone heading into next season. So that this isn't just a self-fulfilling cycle here where the same guys stay in these tournaments with higher point allocations and you just can't possibly get them out of it,
yeah.
Which is how it was on the old WGC system. So that turnover rate will be an interesting one to look at. But they really have to look at the sponsor exemptions in these events. They get four in each of these events. Adam Scott and Webb Simpson, both board members, have now received five free passes into events that they were not otherwise eligible for. And you can make an absolutely valid argument that both of those guys are consummate professionals. They add value to the tournament. Nobody would dispute their right to be there. But they're all the time, and five of them. There ought to be a cap on how many sponsor invites you can get into these lucrative events, and a give back of some kind. If you take an exemption into a signature event, you ought to be required to play a non-signature event somewhere else that wasn't on your schedule.
Unless you're Tiger Woods, of course, who got that lifetime exemption for the signature events, which I think we can both agree feels fair.
Special rules for a special,
for a special player. How about the tough exterior but a warmer side to you, championing the underdog here, giving them an opportunity? I love to see it, Eamon. We're going to take a quick break here on Golf Today. A whole lot more coming up on the show. This week we get treated to some team golf on the LPGA Tour. So I got Eamon and myself thinking, what are some of the best duos in golf? We discuss that on the other side. Jordan Eamon back here on Golf Today. After a thrilling week at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, the LPGA moves back to the Midwest for the Dow Championship, one of the most unique tournaments of the season, featuring 72 teams of two players each. Here's how it works. There are four rounds like most weeks, but each day the format will alternate between foursomes and four ball. There will also be a cut midway through the tournament, similar to Zurich Classic on the PGA Tour. There will be no Rolex World Ranking points distributed this week, but a victory will go down as an official LPGA Tour win for both players on the team, holding up the trophy come Sunday.
And here's a look at some of the notable teams we're going to see. A lot of major winners pairing up together. Celine Boutier, Yuka Sasso, for example. Brooke Henderson, Lexi Thompson. And how about that next-gen talent, Alexa Pano and Rose Zhang. One of those teams, the pride of England, Georgia Hall, Charlie Hull. They spoke about getting together earlier.
We've been best friends since we was like 11 years old. So how many years is that, George? Our 17. Sorry, I'm not very good at math. Anyway, but yeah, we always used to play England golf together. Like, we was always partners together in England golf. We shared together. We did done everything together. Used to practice together when we was younger. So we kind of know each other's games inside out. And yeah, it's perfect.
Anything there? I mean, it didn't really even come about. It was just a no-brainer. We didn't even consider anyone else.
It was more like, George, you're playing with me. She's like, okay, Charles.
All right, Charles, yeah. But yeah, as you say, when we live 3 minutes away from each other now, and we just, I mean, there's not a day that goes by we don't speak. And like Charlie said, we're just always there for each other every day. And I think just really lucky to be able to be best mates, but also have the same career and similar paths. And we just love being out there together. So obviously really excited for this week.
Speaking of team golf, it's time now to nominate our Cincoro greatest duos in golf history. There's been a lot of great partnerships in this game over the years, Jordan. Who's top of your list?
Well, any chance I have to speak about Freddie Couples, one of my favorite golfers not named Tiger Woods, with the tempo, the effortless rhythm of that swing, I'm going to try and talk Freddie Couples. And when you pair him with Davis Love III and what they achieved together, 1992, a magical year for both of them individually as they finished as the top money earners that year on the PGA Tour. But what they did together starting in 1992 with the World Cup, and what they did from there for 4 years, four straight times, dominant. These two close friends were absolutely unstoppable. Of course, in 95 at Oak Hill, they were paired together in the Ryder Cup, and they bested an incredible duo in the pairing of Colin Montgomery and Nick Faldo. Next two Ryder Cups, not so good for them. But again, then you look at the President Cup where they went 5-2-1. It was how they played together and the comments they made about how, when I knew Davis Love III was paired with Freddie Couples, they said, we just knew we were going to be fine because we knew each other's abilities. And they always talked about having more success in the World Cup as opposed to the Ryder Cup, because they said it wasn't as pressurized. There wasn't the chanting of Team USA, and it was more laid back, and it helped with their personalities being laid back ones that they were able to achieve. So that's my duo. I think we agree maybe that's number one. So who would be the next best?
Well, I'd agree. It's your number one, and I would agree there's never been a better marriage of tempo
yes,
in terms
for
of
sure.
two players put together than that. But My duo is the guys who did actually embrace the pressure.
In the Ryder Cup.
In the Ryder Cup, yeah. Which was Seve Ballesteros and Jose Maria Olazabal, the infamous Spanish Armada. Yeah. I mean, these guys played 12 matches in Ryder Cup together. Sorry, 15 matches. They won 12. It's the most of any pair in history. They won their first three matches. They paired up at Muirfield Village back in 1987 against Larry Nelson, Payne Stewart. They won their first three matches, lost the fourth, and they didn't lose another one for another 6 years in Ryder Cup competition. But it was more than just the result of what these guys delivered in delivering the points for Team Europe during that golden stretch of European results. They were the emotional spark of that team. And you could see that even when Olazabal was the captain back in 2012 and in subsequent captains since, they've always tried to capture the spirit of the dearly departed Ballesteros to try to motivate the team since then. So he really carried the team on his back emotionally. Those guys carried the team on their backs from a point standpoint, basically from 1987 for a good decade.
And it's almost like what my pair was to the World Cup, yours was, those Spaniards, to the Ryder Cup. And if you look at them, Ryder Cup carries a little bit more weight than the World Cup. So I'm willing to maybe hat tip here and say maybe yours could hold a little bit more significance, but that's why we pick. To me personally, it's Freddie Couples. Any chance I have to talk about him. And, of course, the Hall of Famer and two-time Ryder Cup captain, Davis Love III. I'm going to get those in there.
Well, we also asked our staff here to give a pick as well. And I think I'm actually going to defer to the staff on this one because they actually had the best pick of all. They chose Dame Laura Davies and anyone. Take a look at this record. Not only has she played more Solheim Cup matches than anyone else, but she has won more. She's won Solheim Cup matches with 11 different partners. They're all-time leader in four-ball matches, played 19, won nine of them. With Alison Nicholas, she's Europe's winningest partnership, 5 points in nine matches. And twice she's had the biggest blowout margins of victory, 6-5. And she's done it with two different partners both times. And I mean, if there's a baller in this game, it's Laura Davies.
So look at us bantering back and forth who's got the best one in the staff. With the mic drop here.
Absolutely. And it's one player who just put her with anybody. And Dame Laura Davies is going to deliver. Well, still to come on Golf Today, one of the game's rising stars. He's got a little something extra to celebrate right now. Minwoo Lee punched his ticket to Paris for the Olympics representing Australia. The social media superstar is going to join us next. Stay with us. Just eight PGA Tour events remain before the FedEx Cup playoffs. This week, the tour is in Detroit, Michigan for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. First round coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. And here's a look at some of the notables in the field. Last week's runner-up, Tom Kim, is the highest-ranked player in the field this week, the recent winner in Canada. Robert McIntyre is there as well. Ricky Fowler, the defending champion and one of the rising stars in the game, Minwoo Lee.
And it's been a consistent season for Minwoo. Played in 12 events this season and missed only one cut while posting six top 25 finishes. Now the Aussie comes into this week looking for his first PGA Tour win. And he joins us now from Detroit. And Minwoo, I can't start the conversation without first offering a congratulations. Your first Olympics representing your native Australia alongside another first-timer in Jason Day, getting that honor a little bit earlier in the week, or last week, excuse me. What is the emotion behind that honor?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, to represent Australia, I feel like I was only an amateur, you know, a couple of years ago. And, you know, I represented Australia during my amateur times quite a lot. And I really enjoyed, you know, that team aspect. And I know we're playing individual, but just being, you know, in a team environment and especially representing Australia, it's a huge honor and really excited.
I mean, you're not even the only Olympian in your own household right now. Your sister, Minji, is also going to the Olympics. How cool would it be if there was a team component where you could actually compete with your sibling for Australia in the Olympics?
Yeah, it would be amazing. I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of other sports do a kind of a team thing, so it would be nice if there was like a doubles or a mixed doubles kind of thing in the golf aspect of the Olympics. But, you know, again, I'm really excited just to be, you know, part of Australia and part of the Olympics. And, I think in the future, hopefully that could be a thing. And, you know, golf's only becoming bigger and better everywhere in the world. So hopefully it's in the future.
Now you have a lot of short-term goals to take care of as well. Some business at hand. You're playing this week. You're about to go to Scotland for the Scottish Open, which you won a few years ago. You're 64th in the FedEx Cup list right now. How much is making that top 70 on your mind over the course of the next couple of months?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, to play the, feel like this year I haven't really got to play in the signature events, which is a little bit of a bummer. I feel like I've, you know, played pretty good golf and would love to play, you know, against the best field in golf, especially out here in America. And yeah, I feel like I've been, you know, sitting at home and, you know, really wanting to play those events. So definitely getting that FedEx Cup ranking as high as I can and playing next year, that would be, you know, that's a goal of mine. I feel like, you know, when there's something to look forward to or to, you know, play for, I do end up playing a little bit better, which is great. So thanks for putting that on my mind, and I'll try to play good this week.
Manuel, we may mention it, and you did as well, of your sister, Minji, who's a major champion winner. What kind of influence has she had on you both in golf and in life?
Yeah, we don't really get to spend that much time together. So anytime we do, you know, we're hanging out and chilling out. Not too much talk about golf, a little bit now and then, but we try to be normal brother and sister. I always say, you know, I'm a typical younger brother and I annoy the heck out of her and she, you know, gets angry at me. So we don't really have a fluid, I guess, conversation most of the time. But I do miss her most of the time. And, you know, when we're in the same state and city, we tend to, you know, try to get together and hang out like a normal family. But that's, you know, one thing that is sacrificial, I guess, in our family. But yeah, I mean, very proud of her. And she's played such good golf over the last, you know, since she's pro, she's been pro, so 7-8 years, maybe more. She's getting old, so I'm trying to follow her in her footsteps. And you know, she's a great golfer, and on the course, she's like a robot, which I'm kind of not. So that's what I look to be mentality wise, a bit like her, and play like her.
Is that your next kind of goal that you're looking for here, Minwoo? Because you've been very consistent in the majors, and you're top 25 in all of them this year. You talked about sitting at home watching the signature events that you really want to be playing in. When you look at what your next step is or your next career development here, is it mostly the mind game or attitude that you're trying to kind of be a little more disciplined on?
I think my, like, mental game has really been very good over the past couple years. I was pretty, you know, young and immature when I was, you know, the first couple few years out, and I've slowly worked on that craft. And it's a big part of it. I guess, you know, people are gifted and they work on it at a very young age, and some have been, you know, amazing at golf at such a young age, but I feel like I'm still pretty young and growing. And I really want to play those events, and you know, hopefully I can win soon. I'm playing really good golf now, and my approach play was one thing that I needed to get a lot better at, and it's slowly starting to trend, which is great. And my driving's been really good so far, so hopefully they can all match up and I could get a good result. But yeah, a goal of mine is to be the best golfer in my family. That's my next thing. Might take a while, but
that is a high bar.
Yeah, right. Well, Minwoo, you might be the best social media follow in your family, certainly. I mean, I get a great kick out of your social media presence, and you say the motivation behind it is you want to give golf a better image. What image are you hoping to present? I for one, enjoy your presence on social media.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just like growing the game for younger kids. You know, a lot of guys that I looked up to Jason, I looked up to Adam Scott, and now that I'm now, like, every week I'm playing with them practice rounds and playing with them in tournaments, so I think they paved the way really nicely for me. And and they're really nice people too, so you know, on the course and off the course I want to be like them. And I think I'm at a day and age where, you know, social media is massive. Everyone's on their phone, so might as well make fun of life and, you know, try to put a smile on people's faces. And especially for the younger kids, you know, I feel like I relate to them because I'm pretty immature and I'm, you know, a 15-year-old at heart and my head. So, you know, I can, I guess, put my mind where theirs are, where their, their heads are, and I can relate to them. So yeah, you know, I obviously got to back it up with good golf, and I feel like I am. Yeah, hopefully I can just get to that next stage and win a couple events. But yeah, I just like to have fun and not take two things seriously, which is something probably I have to work on. But I just like to have fun, and again, I'm at that age, so why not?
We've seen some players, I suppose, struggle with the impact or the scrutiny that comes along with social media. Obviously, you embrace it and seem to thrive in that world. Have you had any difficulty along the way in separating the positivity that you found there versus a lot of the negativity that's out there as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate to have a really good following. I don't get too many messages that are negative or comments, which is, I think, very... It's very unlikely to get it, but I mean, I think I go out there in a way where, you know, I try to be as really real and honest as possible. I don't really like to be fake, so I think it's quite hard to be negative, I guess. But again, I mean, that I know that stuff just happens. There's people that want to say stuff that they shouldn't, and you know, I try to block it as much as I can. But I yeah, I'm very lucky to have a following that's really nice and positive, and I try to be like that on social media too.
As we talk about that following, when you hear those three words that have essentially become Minwoo, your tagline, when you hear "let him cook," what kind of impact does it have on you when you're out there?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, there is a lot of that when I'm on the course, but again, it's a social media thing, and yeah, I mean, it's different when one person says it 100 times, but when every different person says it, you know, they want to be there for me. They want to, you know, support me, which is one thing is great. I love that, and love, you know, having the crowd when I'm out there on the golf course. So, no, I really enjoy it, and yeah, let him cook.
Well, you were cooking at the end of last year as well. You won the Australian PGA Championship. You contended in the Australian Open. Are you optimistic, Minwoo, that whatever the future landscape of this game looks like over the course of the next few years, that there's a possibility that an event like the Australian Open could be elevated in stature again to what it used to be some decades ago?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching, you know, the trio of the Australian events, the PGA, the Open and the Masters, and I hope it comes back to that one day. You know, as everyone knows, the crowd in Australia is just unbelievable, and the golf courses are incredible too. So I really hope that it does go back to that. And yeah, I mean, hopefully the PGA Tour can go down under, and yeah, we can all enjoy the Australian summer at the end of the year and play some good golf.
I like the sound of that. Minwoo, best of luck up there in the Mitten this week, my friend. We look forward to watching you. Appreciate the time.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
A good menu of golf on the lineup this week. The European Tour is in Italy. The U.S. Senior Open, as we just mentioned, at Newport Country Club, Rhode Island. The PGA Tour Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. And the LPGA Tour has the Dow Championship out in Michigan. It's a team event. Let's hear from a couple of the notable pairings this week.
Playing AJGAs together, and we've participated in like Junior Solheim, Junior Ryder Cup together. So it's just super fun to kind of go into this week, like knowing a really good friend ever since we were itty bitty, and just going out having fun. This event is so unique on the LPGA schedule. So being able to really just have a partner enjoy the time is very special.
Yeah, I think the theme for this week is just to have as much fun as possible. I mean, we've been looking forward to this for a while now. And like Rose kind of said, growing up together was so special. And now being able to live out our dreams on tour together is really cool, and getting to experience an event as partners is going to be amazing.
Has there been any discussion about a team name or walk-up song or any options that you all are looking at right now as you as the deadline approaches?
You can present it.
There's been so much discussion about it, probably more discussion than strategy, but our team name this week is Rolexa, kind of just combining our names. And we're still working on a walk-up song, but yeah, it was probably the hardest decision to make so far.
We've been best friends since we was like 11 years old. So how many years is that, George?
17.
Sorry, I'm not very good at math. Anyway, but yeah, we always used to play England golf together. Like, we was always partners together in England golf. We shared together. We did done everything together. Used to practice together when we was younger. So we kind of know each other's games inside out. And yeah, it's perfect.
Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really even come about. It was just a no-brainer. We didn't even consider anyone else.
It was more like, George, you're playing with me. She's like, okay, Charles.
All right, Charles, yeah. But yeah, as you say, when we live 3 minutes away from each other now, and we just, I mean, there's not a day that goes by we don't speak. And like Charlie said, we're just always there for each other every day. And I think just really lucky to be able to be best mates, but also have the same career and similar paths. And we just love being out there together. So obviously really excited for this week.
And it sounds like you'll have a lot of fun out there. But talking a little bit about the golf, have you guys talked about a strategy at all with the two different formats and how maybe you'll approach it based on your games?
No, not really.
No. We're very similar personalities where we just, all right, just hit it. And, you know, it won't really matter what the strategy is as long as you hit a good shot, right?
That's yeah, 100%. Yeah. As long as you give it your best, George. Like, I don't care if she puts me behind a tree. I just have to get out of trouble or vice versa.
Or you put me.
No.
But yeah, we'll obviously, Charlie's hasn't played this course. I did last year. And I'm sure we'll have a quick few minute chat on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Perfect. It just came out too as well that you'll both be on the Olympics team. Very exciting and congratulations for that. What are you guys looking forward to most about being in Paris together on the same team?
Just spending time with George because we love playing golf together. We share together. We go gym together. We eat food together. We get our nails done together. Obviously that week's going to be a bit of a busy week, but it's just nice to share it with your best friend in a special moment like that.
And what are you looking forward to most about being at the Olympics? A lot of people have talked about being around the different athletes and in Paris too as well. Anything like that you're both looking forward
to? I'm really excited to be in Paris because I've actually only ever been to Paris once. So
I've never been.
No, have you never been?
Never.
Oh, you get to share the experience with me the first time. But honestly, like, I don't know, I actually really want to go into Paris. We should go into Paris one day.
Yeah, let's go shopping.
I'm not really into watching other sports, to be fair, apart from boxing. But we can do something like that.
I've watched the gymnastics.
Did you?
No, I would like to see it one day.
Okay.
But it's okay. You don't have to come.
Well, if you go gymnastics, I'll go boxing. We'll have to go to each other's one, yeah?
Perfect, yeah.
Deal.
This is amazing. I feel like you guys could have a podcast up here right now, to be honest.
Oh, honestly, you haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, if you knew. What it was like behind
you. You knew our lives.
I love it. Just talk a little bit, too, about the banter that we might see between the two of you out there this week.
Well, I think we just always throw each other banter, and even in we have like the worst moments, we're always laughing. Like,
yeah.
I woke Georgia up this morning with a naked dance, didn't I? So, like, literally just get the day going. But she's my best friend.
I've seen it all before.
We have so much fun on the golf course, but I feel like as well, we know each other's games, like, we know how to pull each other up when we're down, and vice versa.
Yeah, so. Like, I know when Charlie's upset before she does. And she's the same with me. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. There is. And I tell her 3 days later. So
yeah,
I think it's just we know each other really well. And I think that's so important in this type of an event. And, you know, we go out there and just have fun.
Would you claim to know each other more than most teams out here?
Oh, 100%. Oh. Georgia knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And have you both decided on a team name or walk-up song?
Yeah, so basically it's called the Rose and Thorn because last year our good friend Ryan Evans, Georgia goes to him, describe me and Charlie. And Ryan goes, Georgia, you're like the lovely English rose. And Charlie, you're like the thorn. I'm like, oh, thanks, Ryan.
It's kind of stuck. And yeah, there's lots of thorns around the rose. So you kind of protect me, don't you?
Yeah, I protect her.
And what was the walk-up song?
She my best friend.
Yeah, that's the Cardi, isn't it? Is it Cardi B?
No, sweetie. Sweetie.
She my best friend.
She a real bad bitch.
Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, sorry.
Perfectly fine.
It's part of the song. I'm sure I'd be out of it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's our song. But it's going to be a fun week. And, like, my caddy Adam, we all get on really well. He's got loads of banter. Joe is as well. Joe used to caddy for me for a year. So, and I've known him since I was a kid as well. So yeah, it's going to be just fun out there. It'll just be like a walk in the park at home when we're playing back at in Surrey.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about your caddies too, if they'll get along and kind of gel well with you both.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very different people, our caddies, but...
they're both chatty. Like, Joe would literally have a conversation with a tree.
Joe just would have a conversation with a tree,
Yeah, he would.
And he gets on with us so well. Yeah. And obviously, I know Adam for a very long time because he's caddied for Charlie.
Like, the way I could describe it is, Az is like the big brother, like, just laughing all the time. And Joe's like the dad. Like,
therapist.
But no, it's great. I think we've got a good team. It's gonna be a fun week. Hopefully the weather stays good. I know it rained this morning. Yeah, wholesome putts. Most importantly, go out there and have some fun.
100%, yeah.
Absolutely.
Whew, just put a microphone on those two and let the announcers take a week off. Here are the notable teams at the Dow Championship. A lot of heavy firepower in there as well. A lot of major champions getting together. Jin Young Ko, Nasa Hataoka. For one pairing, Celine Boutier, Yuka Sasso as well. It's going to be a good week out in Michigan.
How about a good story? It's time now for the 19th hole and this story brewing at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Yesterday afternoon, Ryan French, a great follow-up Monday Q, introduced the golf world to Nick Benz, who had never played in a PGA Tour sanctioned event. He's an employee at Golf Galaxy, and he played his way into a 5-for-4 8-hole playoff. The kicker of it all, while waiting for the scores to come in because he thought he was good, he started to get nervous, and when he got nervous, he said, I need a beer. I need two beers. I'm going to go ahead and have three beers, and before finding out, he had to go back out there to return to play more golf. Golf he did, and he qualified. Kevin Kisner got wind of Nick's story and asked the PGA Tour to pair them come Thursday. Kevin, a big fan, obviously, of Nick, and why not after what Nick achieved? Nick seemed to be open to the idea, and Nick responded saying, absolute dream pairing. So Nick is one of 156 in the field, and this guy's got an opportunity to win millions. How about it?
You know, we spend a lot of time hearing in this game about everything that's wrong with golf, and, you know, that the product is broken, the players are greedy, the players are entitled. We hear that all the time. There's no other sport where you get stories like this. You know, the guy who sells you a pair of cleats at Dick's Sporting Goods, he ain't lacing them up at Fenway. No, but a guy who's going to sell you a driver in Golf Galaxy can potentially play his way into the field at a PGA Tour event. This is going to be, regardless of the outcome, it's already one of the great little stories, the little nuggets around the professional golf scene that we're going to see in 2024. I'm just fascinated to watch it play out.
He better be outfitted in everything Golf Galaxy, for one. His bosses better be there in Detroit supporting him. I mean, he's going to have a massive following, I imagine.
Well, Ryan French has pointed out that a lot of sponsors have reached out, and he thinks he might show up looking like a NASCAR driver in terms of the logos on him. I mean, who's going to get more eyeballs this week than this kid who's out there? You know, it's literally the everyman golfer who's out there. He's obviously a lot more talented than the rest of us. But
does he keep the job with Golf Galaxy, or does he let the ego get to him and say, you're cool, you're cool, you're cool, I'm out. I'm a golfer now.
Well, we're going to find that out tomorrow, because when we return for the show tomorrow, Nick is actually going to join us to talk about the expectations for the week. That's a wrap on Tuesday at Golf Today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the day.